Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the second hour, we are going to focus a bit more broadly on the commodities sector. And in the second two segments, I am going to get a couple, I think, relatively important company updates. I am kicking off the second hour with Jayant Bhandari. He is well known to some of our longtime listeners. For all of our new listeners, Jayant is a financial advisor to a lot of institutional investors focused on the commodities sector. Let's start off big picture commodities here, Jayant. Recently, one thing I've noticed is that precious metals still very much trading within a range, although this week was very interesting for gold and silver. Monday, they dropped heavily and have fought their way back quite nicely throughout the week. But another area that has really got my attention is the base metals sector that just continues to grind higher. It's more under the radar, I find, because it doesn't have that volatility. But you look at copper, and copper just seems like every couple days, every couple weeks is up just a couple cents. Copper right now, $3.16. Nickel's up over $7. Again, there's been this kind of broad money just slowly trickling into base metals. Where is your attention first and foremost when it comes to the commodity sector?
Thanks for having me, Corey. See, the thing is that East Asia is back in shape. COVID restrictions have disappeared in East Asia. There are more flights and more passengers traveling in China today than they were a year earlier. So with opening of economies in East Asia, which have been the growth engine of the world, indeed, demand and supply of commodities have come back in shape. There has been a slight suffering of on the supply side, but also there has been a slight dislocation in demand as well of commodities. The net result has been that commodity prices, after their suffering that they faced in March and April, are back in shape and they are doing better than they were before COVID hit the world. I am fairly happy with the current commodity prices. I don't see there's necessarily a speculative upside in commodity prices, although it's always pleasant to see them going up. What I do see is that some of the commodity companies might not have kept pace with commodity prices. And if you look at the future prices of some of these commodities, they are actually higher than what they are today, which means that commodity prices are well supported into the future, at least from today's point of view. And as a result, some of these commodities mining companies should have done better than they have. And as far as gold is concerned, gold has been extremely well supported. Any good news about vaccine comes in, or any good news comes in on political basis, results into a fall in gold price by a bit, and then gold rapidly reverts back to its upper range again. So gold continues to trade around $1,900 an ounce, and I think gold will continue to be very well supported, and it's one of the commodities that I continue to be very optimistic about, because we do see COVID restrictions creating problems into the near future. The economic structure of the world will have changed when the world actually opens up, and the political situation in the US will lead to a lot of fear in the market, which means that gold and silver will be well supported into the next 1 year or so. So that's where I think, as far as buying precious metals concerned, I think it's a good time to accumulate.
So, Jayant, you used the term supported a lot in that answer. Does that mean that you think the metals, whether it's base metals or the precious metals, they're going to be supported in terms of no more major drops, but upward movements? Does that mean that they might be a bit slower? It might still be a bit of a range-bound trade?
Well, certainly gold has a potential to go up quite a bit because of the uncertainties in the market. As far as base metals are concerned, they have done very well. And I don't necessarily think that they have a huge amount of upside left because the future prices show that it should go up a bit, but not all that much. So yes, I think commodity prices should stay range bound, but gold and silver have a possibility of going up higher, maybe reasonably higher over the next 1 year.
Now, Giant, why do you think the companies, whether they're gold companies, silver companies have actually done pretty well, but copper companies, the other base metal companies too, why do you think the attention has been more on the metal and less so on the companies?
Well, you know, this happens, this difference in how mining companies sometimes lag behind commodity companies or vice versa, create an opportunity for us. So if metal prices have gone up and mining companies haven't necessarily performed in relationship to commodity prices, then that is actually a fabulous opportunity for investors to buy into these companies, because a quarter from now, those companies will start releasing financial reports, which will show a much better financial situation than they had a quarter earlier. So this is a great opportunity, and particularly with the smaller companies, because the mainstream media does not talk about the smaller companies, and because brokers don't necessarily talk about the smaller companies, they get forgotten. And that is where your opportunity is in terms of investing in them before the market starts to see them.
So is the focus then on production companies, either large or small, because of the fact that energy costs are still fairly low and the metals prices broadly are higher?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, oil prices are so low, which means that the cost structure of these companies have improved a lot. So that adds to the profitabilities of these companies. So yes, across the spectrum, people should pay attention to companies that have failed to keep pace with commodity prices.
Can't you say that broadly about a lot of companies, though? You look at the discrepancy between even GDX and the gold price. GDX still has arguably a lot of catch-up to do last time gold was at 1900.
Well, I am, firstly, I don't follow the big mining companies very closely, Corey, but the other thing is that most of the big mining companies trade at a premium to their underlying value. So I am always worried about investing in big mining companies, and most of us are not even capable of analyzing those companies. They consume a huge amount of time to understand what's happening in those companies. So I am always worried about the big companies. I'm focused more on the medium-sized and smaller companies.
Let's talk about some of the smaller size companies then, and even medium sized companies, because especially in the precious metals sector, there is a lot of money raised over the past about 5 to 6 months. Some of those shares have come into the market, which has caused a liquidity event for some of these stocks and a broad kind of downtrend. How do you see the overall health of these companies now that they have raised all this money?
So, yes, a lot of those free shares, those shares have come free trading. And if the share price has fallen because of liquidity event of free trading, it might be an opportunity for people to invest in some of those companies. And prior to our recording of the call, we were talking about a company called O3 Mining, Corey. This company raised money at $2.35 and it's now trading at $2.70 or something. And the reason this company is right now suffering is because they raised a lot of money and probably a lot of those shares have come into the market. Now, if people think that there is a value in this company, that actually might be an opportunity for them to invest in it while price might be still weak. So for me, that's actually something that creates an opportunity rather than something to worry about.
Okay, so Giant, let's continue to chat about O3 Mining, because the company has released some interesting news, some being drill results and others being a PEA on the Marban property. Now, I will be having Jose Viscada on this show to wrap up this second hour, but give us your thought on the fundamental value that was presented in that Marbin PEA and the massive drill program that the company has of 150,000 meters.
Right. So O3 Mining is among my top three positions, and I have invested in this company. I participated in the financing, and I have been a buyer of this company since they did the financing. The reason is that for whatever reason, the market hasn't really paid much attention to it. Whenever the share price tries to go up, the shares of Alexandria Minerals, which was a company that O3 Mining acquired, hit the market. So the share price stays range bound, which for me has been a great opportunity to accumulate this company. I think that the value is reasonably good in this company, among the better upside within the peer group that I see. Now, Marbin Project PEA was much better than I thought it was going to be, because Marbin already had a PEA done, I think, about 7 or 8 years back. And based on that, this is a significant improvement. However, market has seen that as an opportunity to sell because of the liquidity event that it created. So I'm very happy about Marbin Project. I think O3 Mining has made it very clear that they want to sell the Garrison project, which probably will get sold at one point of time. I think it has a good value, but it has a value for someone that can merge it, that project, with projects around that area, and then create a much bigger single entity. So I think that's where another factor that helps underpin the value of the company comes from. And the company is continuing to drill at Marbin Project, where they are finding better grades than what is in the PEA. And then, of course, the area in Quebec where they are drilling is, which the areas that they acquired from Alexandria Minerals, is where they might be able to generate a significant amount of upside.
So, Giant, let's use O3 as an example to talk about a company that has a couple options balancing out potential M&A, which in all fairness, M&A has been very slow for the juniors. This last couple of weeks, we have seen a couple deals pop up, which I know has gotten some people excited, but overall, there is not a whole lot of excitement, at least right now, in M&A for the sector. But because of the deal that O3 Mining signed for this QMX mill, they have the potential of being a producer. Now, it's not going to be a producer next year, but how do you find the balance right now in the market and in what you're investing in between these smaller companies either looking for a takeover or having the potential to go into production?
Corey, it has, of course, been difficult for M&As to happen at the project kind of levels, particularly for these companies that have developed the projects reasonably towards production scenario. The problem is doing due diligence on these projects has become virtually impossible with travel restrictions around the world. You can't really go into those projects. I have had reasons to go to a couple of projects for investigative purposes, but I can't really do those traveling because of restrictions around traveling. So I think once that opens up, M&As in these kind of companies will start. Yes, I think O3 Mining is increasingly positioned to provide you an upside, but also because of the mill that they have bought an option on, creates an opportunity for them to rapidly move into production, which of course still means a couple of years time or longer, but that's how you create situations where you can move the company forward quickly when the time comes.
Yeah, I think that's also how you can at least remove some of the risk in these projects and companies if it is an economic resource and the company does have that path towards production. In full disclosure, I do hold O3 Mining in my portfolio. Giant, please take us through any other companies that have your attention that you would like to share with us.
Well, one company, which again is one of my larger positions, is a company called Maritime Resources. This company did financing at 6 cents and then 15 cents. And now it's range bound between around 14 to 16 cents. And the reason is that 8 million warrants came free trading a week back. They expired a week back. And I think some of them got exercised. And the warrant exercise price was 15 cents. And next March in 2021, about 32 million warrants expire with exercise price of 15 cents. So this Maritime Resources will stay, I think, range bound between 14 and 16 cents over the next few months. But I think the upside is very nice in this company. So that is, and again, because this share price is stuck because of technical reasons, not because of fundamental reasons, I'm very happy to be buying more of this company, particularly when it falls below 15 cents. So that's one company I'm
Giant,
keen
let me
on.
Jump in here quickly. Because Maritime is focused in Newfoundland and Labrador, we've seen a whole new renewed interest in this area for exploration companies. What do you think about that broad area play?
Well, actually, this is from everyone I talk with in that area. I'm told that getting permits and doing mining is actually reasonably good. The governments and local authorities are reasonably friendly when it comes to letting you get on with your work. So that's actually another advantage that some of these companies possibly have.
But what about all these new companies and all this new staking that has come into Newfoundland?
I haven't paid much attention to it. I am well invested in a company called Anaconda Mining, and I quite like Maritime Resources. I like Maritime Resources a bit more than I like Anaconda Mining, but both of these companies, in my view, offer very good upside, particularly Maritime Resources. Now, again, I have not followed, paid much attention to the staking rush that has taken place in that area, and I usually avoid participating in feeding frenzy when I don't really understand those companies and managements are acquiring areas only because market is salivating about that area.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, let's share one more company, then we'll wrap it up here, Giant.
Okay, another company is a company called Atico Mining. The ticker is ATY. They have two projects in Latin America. And we talked about this company a few months back, Corey. The share price has done very well since then, but I have to say that the general market has done very well. So there's nothing to congratulate myself about here. But I think this company, because copper price has done very well, will actually churn out a reasonably good amount of cash in the next quarterly that comes out. And that will be a kind of profit that will should please the market, and that will put the company in a better financial situation. So I think this company probably has a very good short-term upside, but it also, in my view, has a good medium and long-term upside as well.
All right. Hey, Giant, great chatting with you. Thanks for kicking off the first two segments in the second hour. Just to bring everybody up to speed, the ticker symbol is 403 Mining is OIII. For Maritime Resources, it is MAE. And for Atico Mining, it is ATY. All these on the TSX Venture Exchange. Giant, thank you again for your time. Pleasure chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Corey.